Now, friends, we come here in the 46th Psalm, beginning with it, I should say, with a little cluster of three psalms, and they are all a prophetic picture of the kingdom that's coming on this earth. Remember, Psalm 45, a great millennial psalm, speaks of the coming of the king to establish his kingdom here upon this earth, the millennial kingdom. So now these three psalms set before us this kingdom. And this is the reason that today more attention should be given to the psalms, that we get a proper understanding of them. Now, this 46th psalm here is a wonderful psalm. It's one that God's people have turned to, and rightly so. It's called, by the way, if you will notice the heading of it, "To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth." And this song upon Alamoth, the word Alma is used in Isaiah 7:14, where it says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." Now, evidently, Alamoth means virgins or maidens' voices. And it would refer us, I think, actually back to another great song of deliverance and of victory that was sung back when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. And we're told that they sang the song of Moses. But who led the singing? I don't think Moses was a much better song leader than I am, and I'm no good at all. But the one who led the singing was his sister. And here we read in verse 20 of Exodus 15. Now, that wonderful song, and I can't go back and look at it, but when they crossed the Red Sea, they sang this song. Who led it? Verse 20 now of Exodus 15. "And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, 'Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea.'" So that the song leader on that occasion and the soloist was Miriam, the sister of Moses. Now we have here another great redemption. And the redemption at the Red Sea was not the redemption by blood. That took place when they came out of Egypt. They were redeemed the night that the death angel passed over, when the blood of the Lamb was put on the doorposts. And they were redeemed then by power. But when they crossed the Red Sea, it was redemption by power. And the enemies that had troubled them, they were destroyed. And here you have, some think it's really a soprano solo. It really hits a high note. Now, we need always to put this psalm in here where it belongs, after the 45th. And it goes along with this little cluster, 46, 47, and 48. I don't think we have any more right to take this psalm out and look at it separately without looking at it in the setting in which it is, any more than that little boy that misquoted Scripture. And he was asked to give a definition of a lie. What is a lie? And the little fellow put together two scriptures that were totally unrelated, but he got them together. He says a lie is an abomination unto the Lord, but a very present help in time of trouble. You can see he misinterpreted Scripture. We smile at him, but what about the folk that lift this psalm out, the old psalm? I think they're more guilty of misinterpreting Scripture, by the way. And so we have here a wonderful solo. It's not the blues, it's the hallelujah chorus. And it's not rock music, but those that were on the rock. Now, you have in the first three verses the sufficiency of God. And this is a very wonderful section that we have here, by the way. And I think that I should read several verses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Now, here is a very wonderful statement. And somebody says, well, how do you know whether it's true or not? I say the Bible said it. Somebody will come along and say, well, it's a theory, and you don't know whether this is true or not. Well, my friend, I've tried it. And we're told here that the Lord is a refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And we are told, taste of the Lord and see if He's good. The Lord Jesus said, if any man will do His will, he'll know of the doctrine, whether it be of God. Now, you can count on God in time of trouble and find He's there. Christians do not learn today to trust God in time of trouble. And the reason is they do not know about the sufficiency of God. They've never found Him sufficient. We need a God that doesn't fail us. Circumstances under which God is sufficient, though the earth be removed. And that's a most inopportune and extreme circumstance. Has the earth ever been taken out from and under you? Have you ever been suspended in space? Most people think they're the only ones who ever had trouble, but God's people find God sufficient in time of trouble, and that's what He's saying here. This psalm was Luther's favorite. He probably wrote the great Reformation hymn, the hymn, Ein feste Bergist unser Gut. That's very poor German, by the way, but it means a mighty fortress is our God. He had this in mind. Here, God is our refuge and strength, a present help in time of trouble. And men down through the centuries have found out that that is true. Now, again, we come to something quite wonderful. In verse 4 through 7, we have the security of God. Will you notice this? There is a river, the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Now, some say this is poetry. It's a song, that it's figurative. It's a symbol. The river's a reality. And I believe that we have here a river that speaks of the supply and refreshment that God gives today, and that river is God's Word here. And you have a river mentioned in the Word of God in a very definite way over in Ezekiel, a river that flows out from the throne of God, and that there's great blessing. This river's as real as the Mississippi River or any other river, and we are told that the blessed man, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And yonder in the New Jerusalem, we see that He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. And the Lord Jesus said to that woman at the well, He that believeth on Me, as the Scripture saith, out of his inmost being will flow living waters. What a wonderful statement we have here. And God is in the midst of her. What a picture we have in that. And I keep on reading now. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. And the nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And Selah, stop, look, and listen again. This is very important for us to consider here. Now the judgment floods have spent their force. They're gone. And now flows forth this stream of living water, a stream that Ezekiel saw, and Zechariah speaks of it. And we find that it's in the book of Revelation. And here is this wonderful, glorious river that supplies the needs of God's saints, and they're all planted right by it. Now, we come to this final division, verses 8 through 11. We have the supremacy of God. And here, he appeals to what would be, in one sense, the lowest level that God appeals to man on, and that is, of course, creation. Now, there's a reason for that here. We are told, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in fire." And this is a very wonderful passage of Scripture, for very candidly, it sets before us here in a very definite way the last days when the one who is the stone cut out without hands that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his vision, and it has dealt an annihilating blow upon this earth. And we're told that after the war of Armageddon is over, that the dead will be strewn, the wreckage of warfare will be there, and that's the picture that's given to us here, and what a picture it is. And the works of God today ought to tell man that there is a God, and now there's peace on earth. And it's now a blessed reality. The king has come, and he's put down all unrighteousness that's on the earth. Now, will you notice the last two verses? "Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Selah. Now, he says, "I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth." That's God's purpose. And now he says, "Be still and know that I'm God." We can be calm in time of the storm, by the way. The storms are blowing outside today. You and I are living in a wicked world. It's a mean old world, friends, that you and I are in today. And tremendous things are taking place in the great convulsions of nature today. Now he says, "Be calm in time of the storm. Be still and know that I'm God." Christ, you remember, was in the storm with the disciples, and he was asleep. He had more trouble calming the apostles than he did calming the storm. And he has a lot of trouble with many of us today because we don't know what it is to wait patiently before him. Well, he's going to be exalted today, and he's called here the God of Jacob, friends, and this fits in to this place. Here is a psalm that'll be a great blessing in the future. It's going to be a time of great blessing, but it's a comfort and a blessing for God's people today.